Okay, would you turn your Bible to Genesis chapter 16, please? I don't care for topical study because topical study is a lot of times the pastor leaves things behind because they like to teach what they like to teach. And they choose a particular topic and end up leaving something behind. And besides, Bible is not written in topics. You agree? It's written in books. If the author wrote in according to books instead of topic, why should we study this book according to topics? Why don't we just study according to the way it's been written? All right, let's start. When I drive in Tucson on my errand, which is usually Tuesday, I get in the lane. I think that it would move me faster than other lanes. So I get in the lane. Wouldn't you know, this guy in front of me, little tiny car. They call it smart car. It doesn't look so smart. You know, 90-year-old granny could pedal her bike faster than this guy driving. And I said, gas pedal is the far on, right on the, it's on the right side, next to the brake. He doesn't hear me, so he just traveling about 20 miles per hour in 45 mile zone. So I thought, maybe I'll help him. I'll just push him with my truck. And I was thinking about that, and then TPD Cruiser was pulling next to me. So I thought, never mind, it's not a good idea. Don't even think about it. So I thought, okay, I lived here for 38 years, and why don't I just take a detour? I'll make a shortcut and get to my destination faster for no apparent reason, because I just want to get there fast. Have you been there? So I get into this detour, and only to find that there's a construction site. And there's 12 construction workers. 10 of them standing under the shade, smoking and laughing. And 2 guys on each side of the construction site with a slow sign. I thought, this is not my day. You know what I'm talking about. Someone wisely said that detour is always worse than the main road. Didn't someone say, heaven help those who help themselves, right? It's in the Bible, right? If you find that in 31,000 verses, I will give you $20. I'm going to keep that $20, right? In reality, God prefers us not to get in His way. He doesn't want us to help Him, and He doesn't want us to give Him suggestion. He has this sign in front of us. He doesn't want our help, nor suggestion. This morning we are going to see Abram and Sarai. Later they are going to be Abraham and Sarah, making a major mess in their lives, and that still affect our lives as well. Genesis chapter 16 records a painful detour that Abram and Sarai made in their pilgrim work, a detour that brought conflict not only their lives, the entire human race into the current world. What today's politicians and journalists call the Israel-Arab geopolitical conflict begins right here. Let's stop and pray. Indeed, as we sing, Father, we bless you, praise your holy name because of who you are. Not because you give us life, not because you give us hope. More than all that giving to us, wonderful things you give to us, we acknowledge you are the one, you are the God who is beyond our comprehension. Your love and mercy and kindness and your grace through Jesus Christ. You didn't need us. You were in perfect harmony. But you wanted to show your love toward us. So you gave your only begotten Son. Through your Son, we may learn how to love, how to cherish, how to embrace loved ones. Every good and perfect comes from you above. Father, we are asking you to, again, speak to us in such a way that we may learn your ways, not our ways. Instead of coming up with our own mind, our own ideas, Father, let us simply embrace your ways. Father, we pray that you open our heart to receive your word in such, because of your anointing. And Father, we're asking you that you give anointing to the one who speaks and forgive his sins. Father, we also pray for our President Trump and all the leaders in this country as your word said. Father, we pray that they may come to know Christ if they don't know you. And instead of insisting their will, let your will be done. And Father, we're lifting up our troops around the world, especially the one in the harm's way. Another police officer got killed. Father, we pray for his family and his friends. Comfort them. And we pray for the rest of the officers and sheriff deputies and the agent. Father, we pray that you protect them. You pray protect the firefighters as well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 16, verse 1 in Genesis, please. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. And she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, "See now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go in to my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her." And Abram heeded the voice of Sarai. Underline, and you write there, dumb. Then Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. After Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. Stop there, please. One of the principal themes of the Genesis is having children, quest for children, especially sons. In the Abram and the Sarai's lives, this theme gets a lot more attention. And in the world of Old Testament, having an offspring, especially first son, is extremely important. When I was born, okay, let me backtrack a little bit. My mother was a mistress of my father. It's not something that I would put on the resume and brag about it. Because in South Korea, as well as all the Oriental area and the Middle East, having more than one wife is a kind of wink, wink, nod, nod, and it was a custom. My mother, in her previous marriage, could not bear a child. So she got kicked out of her marriage. Just like in this kind of situation, Sarai was blaming herself and blaming God for not having a child. I don't know why it's always woman's fault and woman cannot have a child. A lot of times it's a man's fault. And especially deterring the gender. By the way, there's only two genders in case you haven't figured it out. It's a male or female. There's nothing in between. If it's a girl, they tend to look down on the female than the male. Having a son is extremely important to them. That's just custom. Because having a son carries their family name. Sarah's desperate effort to have a child through Hagar was fully in accord with Semitic tribe practice in those days. Why did God wait so long? He wanted Abraham and Sarai to be physically as good as dead so that God alone could get the glory. At age 85, Abram could father a child by Hagar. So the time for the miracle baby had not arrived yet. And we should remember that it is through faith and patience that we receive the result of God's promises, not through human capabilities. You with me? Patience and obedience and faith in God. I want you to highlight this, what it says in your sermon online note. God does not need us to be strong. He wants us to be our strength. Listen carefully, please. God's timing is as important as his call and his will. God has a perfect timing table for all that He wants to do for His glory. But Sarai is not concerned about God's timing. What she wanted was a son. Not daughter, son. Her only goal was perhaps I shall obtain children. And there is a hint of a disappointment with God, even blaming God. And when she said, now that the Lord has restrained me from the bearing children in verse 2. How about this? I'm going to wait for the Lord until He bring me a child. That would have been better, right? She's not the only one. Whenever there is some problem comes, guess who get the blame? God. When the 9/11 happened, people ask, Brian Gumbel, liberal journalist, asked, where was God when this happened? And Billy Graham's daughter replied very wisely, same place when human crucified His Son Jesus Christ. It is often said that God's delay is not His denial, but Satan whispered to us, God is holding out on you. If He loved you, He would give you what you want. Blame Him. Sarai probably felt that it's time for her to do something, helping God out, since He is incapable. God wants us to be completely dependent on Him for everything. Willingness to wait on the Lord is evidence that we are walking by faith. Whenever we stop trusting God, we start to make our own decisions, and we end up in serious mess. Our memory verse, go to 11th chapter of Hebrews, please. Hebrews 11:6. Don't sit there without turning your Bible. But without faith, you all there yet? Without faith, it is what? To what? Impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him in faith. As I said before many times, God does not have a suggestion box in front of His pearly gate in heaven. He does not want us to give Him our advice. He doesn't really want us to insist our ways over His. The fact is that even if you have a brilliant brain, your brain intelligence, known as IQ, can be measured in 3 digits. Am I correct? Usually, our brain is only being used about 10%. Even if we can use all 100%, we still cannot do what God can do. Somehow, we think that we can do better than Him, so we come up with plain dumb suggestions to Him. How about this? How about that? And as I said before, the fear we have that God will not answer our prayer is because the main reason is because we may not get the way we want it. Let's go down to verse 4, please. So he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. Then the Sarai said to Abram, my wrong be upon you. I gave my maid into your embrace. And when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between you and me. So Abram said to Sarai, indeed your maid is in your hand. Do to her as you please. And when Sarai dealt harshly with her, she fled from her presence. Again, stop there, please. It had been 10 years since the promise of the childbearing for Sarai passed. And, you know, let's face it. If we have to wait for the answer of our prayer more than 10 minutes, we get impatient. 10 hours? Oh my goodness, that is eternity. 10 days? We are dying. 10 years, goodness sake, we can understand why they are motivated to do something else. The long waiting for the promise discouraged Sarai and Abram and made them vulnerable, acting in flesh. Yet, even after this, it would be 13 more years to go. When we impatiently try to help God out in the flesh, it accomplished nothing and even more prolonged the time until the promise is fulfilled. Emphasis in the prolong. We only extend our trial time. Jacob had good example. Here's a couple of good examples. Jacob had to live in an exile for 25 years because he thought he had to help God out to get the father's blessing. Moses tended his sheep for 40 years in lonely desert after he tried to help God out by murdering an Egyptian. I'm sure that we can come up with our own examples in our lives. We try to help God out, right? Have you ever done that? I did, more than once, only to regret. Abram was certainly in the flesh as well. When he agreed with Sarai's idea, not trusting God's ability to provide an heir through Sarai. Note that he didn't pray, nor did he seek God's guidance when Sarai told him, "Go into my maidservant." He should say, "Then let's pray to the Lord for this." He didn't. Now the result of man's solution for God's seemingly unfulfilled promise raised its ugly head. Hagar's contempt for Sarai started the problem. This young woman couldn't resist displaying inappropriate haughtiness, arrogance toward her mistress. She was thinking, "I have a child of Abram, while you don't. So I'm better than you. I should be the one, not you." Sarai blamed the whole situation on Abram. Ladies, you're thinking, oh yeah, that's logical, right? However, he took the stand of apathy. He should have acted as a spiritual leader and told his wife from the beginning, God was able to perform what he promised and they didn't need to try to help God out in the work of flesh. Abram should not have listened to his wife's ungodly counsel. Most of the time, wives give a godly counsel when they are born again Christian. But they are not perfect. Surprise to ladies, right? From time to time, ladies can come up with an ungodly counsel. Just like a husband can come up with an ungodly counsel. Test every spirit, the Word of God says. Against what? Against the Word. Psalm 1:1 said, "Blessed is he who walks not in the counsel of ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful." When it's ungodly counsel, you walk away. You don't do what they say. Abraham seemed to make a bad situation worse by turning the situation over to back to the Sarai and not taking care of the child he fathered and the woman who was pregnant by him. Abraham's solution was to give in to his wife, relinquish the spiritual leadership of home to her, and he became a spiritual wimp. Ladies and gentlemen, there are many spiritual wimps in America's born-again Christian families. Instead of following the Word of God, leading their families to the path of our Lord Jesus, they'd rather take a back seat and let their wives be the spiritual leaders in their homes for whatever the reasons are. I know I'm stepping on a lot of toes today. Gentlemen, that is against the Word of God. Are you listening, gentlemen? Come on, answer me. Ladies, watch your elbows. This is not the time to poke your husband. I'm not saying that you should be a male chauvinist pig. It has nothing to do with that. Keep your finger in the Genesis. Go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. "Wives, submit to your own husband as to the Lord." Did you get that? Now your husband is poking your wife, right? See? Submit. "To be worthy of our wives' submission, we must first submit to our God and His Word. Then it is not that difficult for our wives to respect us and submit to our decisions in our homes. Yes, God put more responsibilities on husband than wives. This situation also reminds me of a deadbeat fathers and the guys who get the woman pregnant and not taking responsibility. Hear me well, please. If you're man enough to make a woman pregnant, you should be man enough to take care of that woman and the child. Having a child out of wedlock is a sin itself. But when the person does not take care of the child and mother, it is additional sin against God. Again, go to 1 Timothy chapter 5, please. Verse 8. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Is that straightforward enough for you? Okay, I'm going to take a moment of break and take a sideline. Somehow, the world, well, what do you expect from the world? World think that having a sex before the marriage is okay, hunky-dory, good to go. They think that, even the Christians think that that's okay to do that. When I was working for a Calvary Tucson as a web designer, I don't know how to build a house, but I know how to build a website. That's as far as it goes with the construction. One guy contacted them, church website, and they came to me and said, I and my fiance having a sex before our marriage, is it wrong? We are not teenagers. So I answered back to him in an email, do you see anywhere in the Bible that there's an age limit for the fornication? I don't care if you are 85 and 75 like Sarai and Abraham. And if you're not married and you're having sex before marriage, it is sin. You get that? If you've been having sex before marriage, you need to knock it off. You need to repent. Either get married or stop. Wow, it's quiet. When a spiritual person exercises apathy and depends on a human solution for a problem he or she is facing, the result is absolutely confusion and a mess. Would you agree? Go down to verse 7, please. Now the angel of the Lord found her by the spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to the shore. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, where have you come from and where are you going? And she said, I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress, submit yourself under her hands. See, this is the first appearance in the scripture the angel of the Lord was mentioned. And generally, it's identified as the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. It's a temporary body, not incarnate body, like in the New Testament. Left the heaven and came down and to help the rejected servant go, surely show the grace of God. See that this angel of the Lord asked her question. Is it because he does not know where she came from or where she going? He knows. He's an all-knowing God. He asked her to start the conversation. God told Hagar to do something very difficult. Go back to her terrible situation and submit herself to Sarah. I'm sure Hagar was thinking, can I have a second opinion before I go back? But she did. Verse 10. The angel of the Lord said to her, I will multiply your descendants exceedingly so that they shall not be counted for multitude. Verse 11. And the angel of the Lord said to her, behold, you are with a child, and you shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. He shall be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man, every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Stop there, please. God then told her that she was pregnant with a son whose name will be Ishmael, which means God hear. God hears. While he would not be the Abram's heir in the blessing of the covenant, Ishmael would still enjoy the blessing from God since he was Abram's son. God promised to multiply Ishmael's descendant and make him a great nation, make them into a great nation. And he did. After all, Ishmael is the founder of the Arab nations. When you have a chance to read the Quran, I generally don't recommend, but if you do, you will find this genealogy going all the way back to the Ishmael and the Abram. Ishmael would be the wild donkey of men in the, if you have a New International Version. That's a good translation, which is not a very flattering description, but you identify with him the unruly character with a defiant attitude. He would be hated man and leaving his hand against every man's hands against him. While we must now apply this trait to every descendant of Ishmael, century-long hostility between Jewish country, the Israel, and all the Arab nation is cannot be denied. These people, Arab nations, are independent people dwelling in the desert land and resisting other nations, especially toward Israel and United States because of her ally. You think about it. How many nations can do what these Arab nations do and still survive, not be bombarded by the other nation? Good example, Japan. It went against many countries. It conquered many countries. What happened to them? They got bombed heavily. What happened to Germany? Same thing. Iran is causing more havoc than any other countries. It is coming. If it's not next couple of years, it's coming at the end. You know, I'm not making racial profiling here. If Sarai and Abram didn't do this thing, we would not have Arab nations causing problem like they are causing now. If you think that, well, Islam is not that bad, well, if that's the case, go to the airport. Stand in the long line of a security check. See if you still like that idea. Go down to verse 13, please. Then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees. For she said, have I also here seen him who sees me? Therefore the well was called Beer-Rai-Roy, observed. It is between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram's son, and Abram named his son, who was Hagar bore, Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old, and Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. Ishmael was the first man in the Bible to receive his name before he was born. If we seek to change our circumstance without God's guidance, we will jump from the frying pan into the fire. It is not a change of circumstance we need, rather we need a change of heart. Our human mindset wants to run away, but God wants to demonstrate His power exactly while we go through that difficulties. Three applications for you. Number one, willingness to wait on the Lord is the evidence that you are walking by faith. Willingness to wait on the Lord is evidence that we are walking by faith. Galatians 6, please. In the New Testament, Galatians 6, 9. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season you shall reap if we do not lose heart. Second application. We must know that God's delay is not God's denial of our prayer. We must know that God's delay is not God's denial of our prayer. There are many times I thank God for His answer, no, to my prayers. Don't you? I am so glad that he didn't say yes to every prayer that I made. Application number 3. Let's remember that when the spiritual person exercises apathy, depends on human solution for the problems he or she is facing, the result is absolute confusion and a mess. Amen? Let's stand up and pray.